In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
At this time of year, and by that I mean the liturgical year, the church prescribes us to sing Psalm 137, more commonly known by its first line, "By the waters of Babylon." In its musical, liturgical setting, usually only select verses are sung. But either way, it's a psalm. It's a song of exile. It's a song of separation. The setting is when the Israelites were conquered and taken as slaves, as captives into the Babylonian Empire for some 70 years. And of course, they were separated from their homeland. They were in exile from their homes, from the temple, from their beloved Jerusalem. And naturally, they feel this exile. They feel this utter homesickness. They talk about it. They write about it. They compose sad songs about it. And Psalm 137 is one of those sad songs. It has lyrics like, "In exile, we put away our musical instruments. We put away our harps. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. And let my tongue never sing again if Jerusalem ever ceases to be my first joy." It's really a mournful, mournful psalm expressing the experience of exile and of longing for home. And Lent is the time that we try to actually kindle a feeling of exile, to kindle a feeling of homesickness, not for Jerusalem, but for God, for the kingdom of heaven. Now, why would we do that? Why would we intentionally kindle a feeling of exile? And the reason is it's because we are, in fact, exiled from God. And in the busyness of life, we don't always realize it until it's too late. We don't always realize it until we've suffered. Now, someone might rightfully ask, "Father Chris, we just finished the long nativity season. We proclaimed and celebrated God coming in the flesh. Emmanuel, you said. God with us, you said. You said God entered creation at his baptism. You said God entered our worship when he was brought into the temple. How can we be exiled? How can we be separated if God is with us? And we spent all that time proclaiming it." How indeed. It's an excellent question, and I'm glad you asked. How can we be exiled from God if God is with us? I shared this story at OLD a couple of weeks back. I have two relatives. Well, one is now deceased. They were sisters-in-law to each other. Back in 1938, one of them said something that the other found offensive, and they never spoke to each other again. Not for over 80 years. Never. And in spite of valiant efforts on the part of many family members, in spite of family gatherings where they were forced to be in the same room at the same time, they never once spoke. They're going to their graves never having reconciled. They chose exile from each other even when they were in the same room. Is it such a stretch then that we choose exile from God in spite of his coming to us? In spite of God's love and mercy, exile still can be chosen. And today, as part of that experience of our choosing exile, in spite of all God's efforts, we're treated to one of the Lord's most beloved parables, the parable of the prodigal son. It's a story, in part, of two sons in exile. The younger son's exile is more obvious. He takes all his belongings, his talents, his skills, and he goes off to a far country and he lives poorly. He chooses poorly. Now, far country right there speaks of exile. And of course, it was his own choice. And we know about his return from exile and his father's welcome of him. A lot is written about this younger prodigal son. Most of our liturgical hymns focus on him. Even the title of the parable references this younger son. But both sons are actually in exile. The older son's exile is in some ways all the more tragic. He's mostly obedient. He's mostly obedient to his father's rules. He doesn't wander too far off. But because his heart is ungrateful And because his heart is judgmental of his brother, he chooses exile. What does it say in our story? It says, he drew near to the house, but when he heard music and dancing, and when he found out it was for somebody else, his kid brother, he became angry and refused to go in. One of the most tragic sentences in all of Scripture. He heard music and dancing, but he became angry and refused to go in. That's so sad. It really is sad, and I think it's sad because it speaks to part of who we are. The older son exile is tragic because he's so close to heaven. He can hear the music. He's right there. He's close enough to hear the dancing, but he won't go in. He's right there. I think this older son should be a fair warning to us as believers. We have liturgy. We have this beautiful holy house. We have music and sacraments. We hear the good news of eternal life. We are so close to heaven all the time. But are there sins? Are there judgments that keep us from entering? Or perhaps a better question, what are your sins and judgments that keep you from entering paradise when we're this close? And that's why we need to kindle the feeling of exile. And in his usual goodness, the father comes out and begs the older son to join paradise. He pleads with him. The invitation is there. The invitation to paradise is offered. You know, I asked the youth group kids on Wednesday if they remembered what the older son finally chooses. Does he choose to go in or does he choose to stay out when the father goes out and pleads with him? And some of the kids were like, you know, I remember everything up to that part, but I can't remember what he decides. Which is very good. Which is very good because the story ends before we hear what the older son decides, before we hear his answer. The father begs and explains, and then the story ends. The story ends. We never hear the older son's answer. And that's because it's really a question for us. The lesson is, what is keeping you just outside paradise, and what will you choose to do about it? Stay out or go in? And so then Ava says in a stroke of brilliance, hey, that's just like one of those choose your own adventure books. And I'm saying, oh yeah, exactly. Now a choose your own adventure book, these are books that get popular from time to time where you follow an adventure for a while and then you get a choice. Like Billy's at the edge of the woods and hears a mysterious sound. If you want Billy to go into the woods alone, turn to page 42. If you want Billy to go back to the cabin and get his sister Betsy, turn to page 73. And your adventure changes based on what you decide. And really, this parable of the prodigal son is just like that. It ends with a choice. But instead of reading what happens, we live what happens. We choose what happens. Christ is saying through this parable, you are outside the kingdom of heaven. Do you choose to stay out? Or do you choose to put aside what ails you and enter? Do we get so close to paradise that we can hear the music and dancing only to refuse to enter because the celebration is for someone else? Or do we find our tender and humble heart and enter? The ancient Israelites, when they were in exile in Babylon, they said, if I forget paradise, let my right hand wither and let me never sing again. May we, with equal determination, discern and put aside whatever keeps us in exile and so accept the Father's invitation to the feast. Amen.